Good morning and welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we are going to be learning together Divrei HaYomim Aleph, Perek Yud Tes, the 19th chapter of Divrei HaYomim. The topic of our Perek deals with the battle that David HaMelech has with Bnei Amon in what seems to be an embarrassment and a war that ensues, and finally destroying Aram in the north. Our Perek is made up of 19 psukim, and its parallel Perek is clearly Shmuel Bey's Perek Yud. If we want to see the comparative, it's a very similar Perek in almost every aspect. So the first thing we hear about in the first two psukim is the following episode where the king of Ammon, whose name was Nachash, dies and his son takes his seat. So David HaMelech says, you know, I want to show kindness to this newly throned king because he does for his, because the family has done kindness with Maya, where his father did kindness with me, and he sends off these malachim, these messengers to send biddings of comfort to this new king, Hanun. And what happens is they arrive in Ammon to comfort the king of Ammon. Now, Ammon is to be found in the direct east direction from Israel. Just a little bit of background. What's the history here? Why is it that his father did chesed? So if you remember when David HaMelech was fleeing from Shaul HaMelech, he felt that his family would be a liability. He felt that they would be accessed and perhaps assassinated as a function of himself. So he deposited them in a foreign kingdom and he used Ammon as their refuge. So he felt an indebtedness to the nation of Ammon. Now, there's an interesting question as to, was David HaMelech supposed to be doing this or not? And it's interesting that the Chumash Tanach, the Chiddush, quotes the Kesef Mishnah in Melachim Perek Vav, who says that in Hilchos Melachim Perek Vav, that in fact it is not the correct thing to be doing. This is based on a Midrash, that this was ultimately overdone kindness and mercy, which led to cruelty, because as we're going to see, this gesture was actually taken negatively. So let's move on to the Psukim and Gimel to Hey. We hear about the fact that the advisors of the king of Achanon, the king of Ammon, turned to him and said, wait a second, you think that these folks are here to comfort you? They're here to check out the specs. They want to see what the walls look like. They want to see the reinforcements, where you keep your military storehouses. So this is going to be a spy job. So rather, what they did was, it says they cut, they took them and they shaved off their half of their face, and vayichras es madvehem, which the Ralbag and the Arbabinil understand to mean is they actually cut off half of their clothes, which, you know, generally speaking, half a pant is not a very useful pant. So it's this means to say that you're essentially rendering them naked, and sent them back in such a way, and obviously in a very embarrassing light. And David HaMelech hears about this as they enter the land of Israel, and he allows them to seek personal refuge in Jericho and Yericho until their beards should regrow. So just what's this deal? What's going on with the cutting of their beards? The Ralbag says clearly the beards were very important to them, and shaving off the half of them wouldn't allow you to shave the other half, because that would make it even more embarrassing. So they had no alternative but to wait. So they were in a sort of very embarrassing place in society. And as we saw there by Ranel, the Ralbag pointing out about half their clothes as well, it's also clearly very embarrassing to be entering Israel in such a state. What's the symbolism of this? Why is it just they're trying to make an embarrassment of them? So both the Malbim, quoting from our Ranel, suggest that it really represents their mindset. On the one hand, yes, they do trust David. There hasn't been a war, and David had a good relationship with the king Nachash. But on the other hand, David HaMelech has been conquering one nation, one neighboring nation after the next. So they have their reason to be suspect. And therefore, they shave half of their beards as if they're half spies and keep the other half of their beards as if they're not. In a certain sense, the message is we're not sure. Now, ultimately, half a job is really like a full job, but that seems to be what's happening. It's also important to notice that the hearsay of the advisors of the king, Hanun, are speaking based on hearsay and their own assumptions. And it's very easy to create a conspiracy theory out of hearsay without too many facts to back it up. And that's already why the king was acting based on their statements without corroboration, which ultimately leads to a very bad end. So now in the meantime, what happens is they realize that they've embarrassed. We go back to the Psukim from Vav to Tezvav, where we see that the people really realize they embarrassed David HaMelech. And this was a real, and this was an international offense. And so what they do is they send off 1,000 talents of silver to rent essentially mercenaries from Aram Naharaim up north in the Syria area, and from Aram, Maacha, and from Aleppo. So they want to now bring, unite their armies to take the, you know, the advance offensive, even though really speaking, they were the aggressors in the first place. It's just always very fascinating. They're going to, it seems, almost blame as if Israel was taking the first step when they did themselves. And that's what they do. They get a colossal army together. And they're camping in the area of Meidva. And they were ready for the army. David HaMelech hears about this, sends Yoav, his general, out, and all the Giborim. And he sees that Ammon is now out to battle. And he also sees that the Milchama, the war, is on both sides, because there's Aram and there is Ammon. So what he does is he splits his troops with his brother Avishai, who's going to be the general of the one set of troops who's going to be against Ammon, and he's going to now fight Aram. And it says this remarkable statement in Pasuk Yud Gimel, Chazak v'nis chazka, let us be strong and be strengthened, ba'ad ameinu, for our people, uva'ad arei Elokeinu, and for the sake of the cities of God, v'hashem hatov ve'inov yase, and God should do what is good in his eyes. And that's exactly what happened. Yoav then went, attacked Aram, they fled, and then the Bnei Ammon saw that happened, that their ally was fleeing, and they fled, and Avishai was able to attack them, and then finally return to Yerushalayim. So just this phrase, chazak v'nis chazak, is a very fascinating phrase. Obviously, it is one of the sources for the statement we say after we finish a book of the Torah, where it's pivoted into a spiritual direction, as the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Lamed Beis and Beis says, that it's about the Torah and Ma'asim Tovim and Tefillah and Derech Eretz, which are four things which need chizuk. That's what it's referring to, so pivoting into a spiritual direction. Rashi means to say is that what he's asking of his people is full investment. Meaning to say, don't come to battle and say, you know, I'll try my best the first time and then I'll go and I'll, you know, I had a meeting elsewhere, so I have to go AWOL. No. You're in it until the end. You're in it all the way through. That's the way Rashi looks at this. Then Maharsha, on his commentary on the Gemara, says, well, since there are two groups, since there's the group fighting against Ammon and the group fighting against Aram, you need to say Chazak v'nis Chazka, that we need to strengthen each other across the divide because we're on two fronts. You also see a very, very fascinating idea, and that is that there's two things to be fighting about, and sometimes you can see each of these values in different subsets of people. Some are going to be fighting for the Ba'ad Ameinu, just for our people. Nothing particularly spiritual about that, but more of a sense of real loyalty to our brothers and sisters. Right? And the Israeli soldier who knows that it's his mothers and brothers and sisters and nephews who are in the Yeshuv, who are going to, on the kibbutz, who are going there protecting, they understand that. That's Ba'ad Ameinu. But then there's also Ba'ad Arei Elokeinu, the cities of our God. That's more of a spiritual aspect. We're fighting for the land itself. These are two ideas which you see both coalescing, and sometimes in some people, sometimes you see one or other value in various different groups and segments of our population as well. The Malbim says it might be even relating to naturally and supernaturally, where they invite HaKadosh Baruch Hu in as well. And just a beautiful statement as well in this prayer, Hashem Atov Be'inav Yaaseh, Hashem will do what's good in his eyes. Ultimately, as the Chida points out, is that we always pray that Hashem does what's best, because we don't always know what's best, even though we may want to think we do. Finally, the parak closes the last psukim from Tes Zion to Yotes, where we hear about now Aram hears about this retreat, this loss in battle, and he sends off Shovach. It's Shovach here in Divrei Yamim, it's Shovach in Divrei, in Shmuel Beis, but he sends off, he's the general of the guard of Hadad Ezer, the king, and Israel goes and sends the entire army to fight the oncoming host, and they fight against them and chase them away, kills Aram, destroys a huge amount of military equipment and people in this battle, and at this point in time, it really has the effect of pushing away any future attacks, because Aram realizes they're not going to save their ally Ammon anymore, and that's how the perek closes. The Mishnah in Sota very poignantly points out that sometimes when the nations of our around us or put a lot of stock into particular leaders, into particular, you know, individuals, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Al yerach levavchem, al tiru v'al tachbezu. We know that when we go into war, don't fear them, because put all their eggs into that basket of that person, in this case it was Shovach, who was this great general, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can again remove them in one moment, in one swoop, and they disappear, and ultimately victory is upon us. The mission in Sotus is the beginning of the 8th Perek. And this is, there's lots of lessons to be learned in this particular battle, as we see David HaMelech now not only being able to create stability, be able to fix the wrongs that were unfortunately set up because of rumors and conspiracies and an ally was lost. This ends Perek Yud Tes. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.